We are holding on Gimelman Bay's five lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, "V'chein b'bein o'v'bas," that the same rules that apply to a shur when the same rules that apply to killing an adult, the same dinim apply to a child, a boy or a girl. The same thing, that if that either way, whether it's an animal is tamim or it's skila, and if it was an adult, then if the animal is a mu'ad, then you also pay kofer. Same rules as well. Same rules. The first one to talk about. I mean, the Gemara is going to talk about why the pasuk needs to tell us this. On a pshat level, the Mepharshim on the pasuk discussed a couple of possibilities. The Eben Ezra, for example, says that the chiddush in it is, otherwise you would think maybe the owner of the shur could argue, look, you know, it's partly your fault, the parent of the child, you didn't watch your kid. We don't say that. The Ramban says an idea that maybe a shur kills an adult, fine, that shows that, you know, it's really a vicious animal and a negligent on the part of the owner to let such a vicious animal be around. But it killed a kid, okay, maybe it didn't even notice it, you know, something like, and therefore you would think there'd be lesser responsibility. Hertz in his Chumash has an interesting verse on it. He a lot of times in his time, if you ever read his commentary on Chumash, he has a lot of interesting insights over there, a lot of them based on comparative things from Middle Eastern archaeology. I don't know, some of them are Iskahalt and some not, I guess, I don't know. But anyway, he comes up with an interesting idea. You've heard in the Stam of the Code of Hammurabi, the famous war code from one of the ancient Babylonian kings. So he has, in his laws, he has something like this. A builder builds a house. Later on, the house collapses and kills someone. So it depends what he has in his laws. If the collapse of the house killed the owner of the house, then the builder himself is put to death. If the house collapses and it kills the owner of the house, then the builder of the house is considered negligent and he's liable.
And he killed.
But in the Code of Hammurabi, almost everything involves a death penalty, yeah. But if the house collapses and kills the owner's son or daughter, then it's not the builder who's held responsible, it's the son or daughter that's held responsible and taken out and executed. So therefore, Hertz says that the Torah wants to stress, not like that. Our laws are nothing like that. Regardless whether it was an adult or a child who got killed, it's the owner of the shur who's responsible, not his children. Anyway, so now the Gemara is going to take it in a different way. Turn on a bar. It's not even going to be the Gemara per se. From here all the way to the Mishnah is going to be one long braisa that discusses what we're doing with the pasuk. But the pasuk says, "Ben yigat ibas yigat." But the pasuk says, if the ox gores a boy or a girl, that means the chayav achanim kizvah. It's teaching us that you're just as chayav if the ox gored a child as you are for an adult. Now you would think, what do you need a pasuk for? Halach dinu? Shouldn't you be able to make a mamos dinu? Now we find the Torah is the chayav of a person kills another person, and the Torah makes him liable for death penalty. The Torah also is the chayav of a shur kills a person, and the Torah gives the death penalty to the shur. So, mak shachiv adam ba'adam, lo shnavim, v'in k'tanim v'gurvim. So now, when it comes to a person killing a person, there's no difference. The person, the murderer is equally chayav whether he killed an adult or a child. Because we know that because the Torah says kiyakis kol nefesh adam. The Torah says a person kills any human life, meaning even canon. So he's chayav equally. Ask shachiv shur ba'adam, like taklas v'in k'tanim v'gurvim. By the same logic, if a shur killed a person, there shouldn't be any difference whether the victim was an adult or a child. So therefore, the point of the question is, you would make a mamasinu. If the Torah is telling us that when an adam killed a person, the same thing applies, regardless whether he killed an adult or a child, logically, based on a mamasinu, we should be able to say the same thing could apply to a shur. You shouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that. You shouldn't need a pasuk to tell us. You should be able to figure it out logically. But oi, kavachomeru. And not only that, besides for the mamasinu, you should also be able to make a kavachomeru. Uma adam ba'adam shalai also be kanim kizorim. Now let's look the other way around. Let's look when one person kills another, there is a difference who the assailant was. There's not a difference who the victim was. That's the previous thing we said in the mamasinu. But there is a difference who the killer was. If a child kills an adult, the child is not chayav nisa. The ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam in halacha. So the prophet says, the ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam. If an ish, what? I thought it was not an ish, right? So nevertheless, see a boy like Gödel and Kranin. But when it comes to the victim, there's no difference, as we just said, between Gödel and Kranin. So, Shur Ba'adam should also be Gödel and Kranin, so we should be able to make a Kaaba climber. If a Shur kills a person, doesn't matter how old the Shur is, the same thing applies whether the Shur is newborn or whether it's an old Shur already. And Rashi points out, as we're going to have later on, we're going to have later on in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to point out, that the word shur can even mean a newborn animal. Even on the day it's born, it can already be called a shur. So the Torah is not making any sense. Any bull, any ox, can be called a shur already on the day it's born. But the Pasuk says, shur to catch by a ki yivolo. When a shur is born, then you have to let it, you can only bring it for, as a turban from the eighth day on. So you see that a shur is called, that it's called a shur even on the day it's born. So anyway, so when it comes to, again, so the Kaaba climber is like this. When it comes to one person killing another, an adult who kills another human being is chayav mitzvah, but a child is not. So by a shur, where there's no difference between an adult shur and a baby shur, either way it would equally be chayav mitzvah, ain't a din shechayiv al gerlim kachatam kizreven. How much more so then you should say that the shur is chayav mitzvah, whether the person it killed was a chassam or a god. Yeah. So based on that, based on the Mamasinu and the Kaaba climber, you should say, what do I need a pasuk for to tell us that the shur is equally chayav to kill the child? However, you could slog that all up by saying, look, im amarta adam ba'adam, no, because there's a difference. Because, yes, you can say maybe that these things apply when one person kills another. Shekin chayav ba'avad ba'adam, because we know when one person kills necessarily, but when a person causes damage to another person, there's not just nezek involved, there's also tsar and rikui and shevet and boshet, term of a shur she'ein chayav b'dalav bar. So how can you compare that to a shur which is not chayav in those things? Maybe therefore by a shur attack of the jinim are more lenient. So you can't use either that mamasinu or that kaaba climber. And therefore, tama blamer is being your gachai batiga for chayav al achanik today. Therefore, we need to pass it because otherwise we could not use either of these modim to learn it out.
Because
what you see by a person is a chumra that he's chayav for all the tsar and rikur and stuff. Yeah. Next, the braita continues. The ein liyala b'mu'adim. Now, okay, so far we know that this whole concept that a shur is chayav for killing a child applies when the shur is a mu'ad, because that's the context where the Torah tells it. The Torah describes that the Torah describes the shur kills a person. Then the Torah describes that the shur is mu'ad. Then it talks about ben yigach haybach yigach whether the shur kills a boy or a girl, the same dinim applies. So that's only by mu'ad. How would we know the same din applies by tam as well? So again, dinu. So again, let's start with a mamasinu. Now let's consider the Torah is machayev when the shur killed a man or woman, because the Torah clearly says you got ish or ish of a mei v'chiyev bebenubas, and we find again by muad that it mentions that you also chayev to kill a boy or a girl. So mach v'chiyev beish v'isha like the lachta bebe tam the muad, just like when it comes to the shur killing an adult, man or woman, there's no difference whether the animal was tam or muad, because the Torah mentions isha, isha by both of them. The Torah, we learned yesterday, the Torah mentions isha, isha twice, once by tam and once by muad. So actually, logically, by mamasinu, we should figure that when the Torah is machayev, when the shur killed a boy or girl, same thing. Like tachos, they've been tam and muad. You should figure then logically that there's no difference between tam and muad, and therefore the Torah doesn't have to spell it out. But oid kaaba chomer, and furthermore, we can make a kaaba chomer. Ma ish v'isha shekin hurak peichem min hazakin. Madach, a man and a woman that have a weaker position when it comes to nizakin, namely that if a man or woman causes a hezek, unlike a child, if an adult man or woman causes a nezek, they're going to be chayav pay. Their power is weaker when it comes to nizakin. When they cause a nezek, they're going to be obligated to pay. And like Shalakim by Ben Tam Namur, yet we're saying that if they're the victim rather than the perpetrator of the nezek, then there's no difference whether the ox is Tam Namur. So Ben Obat, Shiyaka Kosha Minazakim, so when it comes to a boy or a girl, where they have a stronger position when it comes to Nizakim, because as the Gemara is going to tell us later on in the chapter, that if a boy or a girl causes a nezek, they're possible. So you tangle with them at your peril. if you cause them damage, you're going to be tired, you being a normal functioning adult. But if a parrot strikes the top and causes you damage, they're up. But you have to know, like, when you tangle with them, it's to your detriment. So, the Benobatsu, your proposal in Nizokin, so a boy or a girl who have a stronger position when it comes to Nizokin, and eventually attack them in time or more. How much more so, you would think logically, that you could say there's no difference whether the ox that damaged them or killed them is time or more. However, now that you pass the river, now the Braisa continues, we can slug up that Mamasinu and also that Kavakosa. This that we said, ain't additional attack with women, time removed, but a marcher. However, you have a problem with that. First, let's start with there's a logical flaw in the Mamasinu. What do we say? Again, what was the Mamasinu? We said, like, the Torah is Machayev, a Shur, Gord, an Isher, an Isher. The Torah is Machayev also if the Shur, Gord, a Ben Rabbah. So by Ish to Isha there's no difference. It's the same time and mood. By a cotton, there should be no differences in time and mood. The problem with that is that where before do we know the whole concept that there is in fact a field of Ben and Bach by mood is only because the Torah said so, because we said before the Mamasinu and the Kabbalah that we wanted to use in the first batch of Raita fell apart. So we're left with only because the prophet said, oh, then you got by Bach, you got by mood just before. The problem is there, when you're trying to use a Mamasinu to say from a Mu'ah to a Mu'ah, which is more stringent, to a Tam, which is less stringent. Can't do that. But he's gone in Kal Mechomer L'Hachmer Olav. How can you analogize from something which is less stringent, namely a Tam, to something that is more stringent, namely a Mu'ah, L'Hachmer, or the other way around, we've done Kalva Chomim, the other way around, so we're trying to analogize the Tam, which is less stringent, from the Mu'ad, which is more stringent, and say that the stringency of the Mu'ad, where it says, then you got, that you got, applies to the Tam as well. After all, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. So, okay, we're not talking about Kalva Chomim, we're talking about Mamasinu, but even so, a Mamasinu can fall apart if you find something that one has a distinction over the other. And here you have a Mu'ad is obviously more Chomer than a Tam, yeah. So you could argue in Hechmer, the Mu'ad, a Chomer, Tachmer, the Tam, a Kal. Okay, so the Torah is Machmer when it comes to Mu'ad, which is more stringent and making you pay even for Ben Ubah. How can you prove from that for a Tam, which is in general less stringent? But oy, and furthermore, not only we can slug up the Mamasinu, we can also slug up the Kavachomer. The Kavachomer was, we said, that a man or a woman have a weaker position when it comes to Nezakin, because if they cause a Nezak, they have to pay. A Ben or a Bas have a stronger position. However, we can slug that up. In a Marja, because if they cause damage, they're not tied to pay. Yes. However, we can look at it the other way around. Im amarta v'isha, shekin chayav and mitzvah. However, how can you prove from a man or woman a chayav and mitzvah? Chayim of ben abat shakturim and a mitzvah. How can you compare that to a boy or a girl or a chotik and mitzvah? Maybe you could argue, look, you know why an isha or isha that calls nezakin a chayav? Because they're chayav and all the mitzvahs anyway. And nezakin is one of the mitzvahs. Boys and girls are chotik and mitzvahs just like they're chotik and mitzvahs. So you can't say that because they have a stronger position. They're not bnei chiyur, that's all. So it doesn't mean that therefore that they have a stronger position. So therefore, so that doesn't work either. We cannot use that limud to say that in the case of a sure time you'd be chayev if it's good or boy or good. So where do you learn it from? Talmud Lema. That is why the prophet said, "Ben yiga evas yiga." The Torah repeated the word yiga. Now we know the Torah has been talking about boy. The Torah said, "Ben evas, ben evas." Yeah, it didn't have to say yiga. Didn't have to say yiga either time. Or, okay, the Bartanura wrote a Peter Shamrashi on Kormos, it's called Amar Nakei. He explains maybe what the Gemara means is, okay, it has to say Yigah one time because that's how the sentence goes, but it didn't have to say the second time. Anyway, the point is, therefore, we learn Nigdich of the Tam, Nigdich of a Mord. The same thing applies when the goring was done by a Tam or by a Mord, and Nigdich of a Mish and Nigdich of a Nizakh. And the same thing applies whether the goring resulted in the death of the victim or whether it only resulted in a nezek. Either way, the same rules apply whether it's a boy or a girl, and or whether it's an adult. Mishnah says,
because
ultimately that is why the prophet repeated the word yiga to tell us that we had to tell us that we have extra things to learn out.
Otherwise,
we would have thought that maybe by a Moore, let's say the show that sold out, being used at the basket, but maybe by a time you'd be popular, because after all, a Ben Obas on that high end, maybe therefore Toyota is more mental in that situation. No, the fact that it would be, you got teachers up there. Mission effect. Show showing the practice proposal, if you ask if a show was rubbing itself, was scratching itself against the wall, the knuckle of them, and that wall fell on a person. So the person got killed, but the sure on the face of it didn't intend to kill him. Or the cabin ladder to the hem of a harvest object. Suppose that the animal was trying to kill another animal and by accident it missed and killed the person. Laknani, of course, changed by the center, it's a Nakri or Goy or what have you. Laknani Bahar Benitra, if it was aiming to a Goy and hitting it, then a falling Bahar Ben Kayama, or if it was aiming for a natal, an unviable baby, and instead it hit a Ben Kayama, a viable one, in all those cases, putter, then it's putter. What do we mean by putter? That's what the Gemara is going to say. Amashmur. Putter means Mr. Bahai Bakoyper. It means the animal would be putter from Mr. because it did not come on. However, the owner is still going to be chayev in total. So koyfer, it doesn't matter whether there's a kavana or not.
As long as
it's there. Yes. And obviously, as long as the animal is moving. But Rav Amar Potter Mizom is there. Whereas Rav says that no. What it means is it's potter from both. Which means from Mr. and koyfer. So Rashi explains that Rav holds basically like Rava that we had at Sugya yesterday, that Rava said that Misa and Koifa are interdependent. Whenever you don't have Misa, you don't have Koifa. Therefore, Rav holds like that. So therefore he says, no Misa, no Koifa, no Misa, because there was no Kavana, therefore no Koifa. Shmuel disagrees. So the question is, Ramai, Hotamu. Now, why are we saying, according to Shmuel, that the animal should be chayev, that the owner of the animal is chayev and kosher? Hotamu, on the face of it, the animal is a calf. Unless the Mishnah tells us that the animal is a moor, usually, otherwise unspecified, we assume that the Mishnah is talking about a calf. So why is Shmuel saying chayev and kosher? Which would imply, even if it's a tam, and actually the Nimuka Yosef has an interesting thing about this. He says, Mela, in most of the cases of Mishnah, let's say the scaven, Mahayogat, the Hem of the Horus, the Adar, fine. You can have, let's say, that previously the Shur has become moored to kill other oxen. Now it goes, it's intending a fourth time to go kill another ox, where it would have been high Megatron, and instead it misses and hits the person. Okay, you could say very straightforwardly that it's moored. But this is the first case of the Mishnah, where it mentioned that it was rubbing itself against the wall and knocked down the wall and killed the person. That's a very unusual situation. It's very unlikely, the Gemara is assuming, it's very unlikely that an animal would become more to do for the first. One time it happened. It's not going to be something that would happen again in the Torah. The answer is no. Kidda Amar Rav, exactly as we find that Rav says in connection with the later Mishnah, in the next Torah, the more little of Ne Adam Gorda, that there was a case over there, a mission over there, which involving a shur falling on a burr in a person and killing him. And Rav explains that the mission actually is talking about a case over there where the shur has done that on a regular basis.
It fell on a person
in a shur, in a burr. Yeah. The case over there is, so you have the Mishnah says over there that if a shur falls into a burr and the Balabais is, let's say his father or his son was in the burr and the shur landed on him and killed him, then the owner of the shur is going to pay kofar. So again, why kofar is not muad? And Rav says you have to be talking about that this animal is muad to fall on people in burr. So Rashi and Tosfos discuss, are we talking about that the Gemara itself discusses over there that what it is that the animal, for example, sees grass next to the edge of the burr, so therefore walks over to the burr to eat the grass and falls in. So it meant to go over to the burr, but it did not mean to fall in. Nevertheless, it's done this kind of thing regularly. So it's not moored in the sense that it does it deliberately necessarily, but moored in the sense that it's already repeatedly done this several times. Tosfos understands that Gemara somewhat differently, that not necessarily are we talking about that it didn't, that maybe it did intend to go into the burrow to find more ground, whatever. So, the same way as Rav says over there that you can have an animal which is more to call off people in a burrow, the same way you can have here an animal which is more where it's habitually rubs itself against walls and knocks down the walls on people.
It would make sense to change it.
Rav is well, Shmuel is the one who's saying I'm here tied and paper. Rav is saying he's called and paper. But Shmuel will use Rav's explanation that we're talking about an animal which is more in the sense that it's done this kind of thing several times. And that's why there's Topher involved, and Shmuel said you do in fact have to say Topher, because when it comes again, according to Shmuel, when it comes to Topher, it doesn't matter whether it's Kabbalah.
According
to Rav, it doesn't matter. So the same way as Rav says over there, Hakonam is more like Taka Hakonam and Makoslin, the same way you can have over here a shirt which habitually rubs against walls and knocks them down and people end up getting killed. Okay, question is, fine, but if that's the case, on the face of it, shouldn't the animal actually be high of Misa? Presumably we assume that it's deliberately knocking down walls on people. Okay, over there the case is that the animal saw grass by the edge of the burr and therefore went over to eat the grass and accidentally fell into the burr and killed the person. Over here, the court of why would an animal be rubbing against walls if it wasn't because it's trying to knock it over and kill somebody, which in that case would be another form of terrain, and once it's done it once already, it would be five minutes, a little longer to do it three times. No, you could answer over here very well. But the same way, it's normal for an animal to scratch itself against walls. Therefore, it's not doing it deliberately to knock them down on people. It so happens that every time it did that, it knocked down a wall and killed somebody. It's not out to do it deliberately. It's doing it by not. And therefore it's not kerem. So again, Tosfos has a different explanation of the whole thing over here, which is based on the idea that what the Gemara effectively is saying over here is it's not a question of kerem versus it's not a question of abana versus not, but either way it would be considered kerem. It's rather a question of the faith of kakabana also, then it amounts to shame. And then the real question is whether there was kosher when an animal kills the ashamed. Which we had a similar discussion before. We had a discussion if an animal kills the irregular, whether there's kosher. So this sort of covers the same ground. That if it was shame, if the animal was practiced a kosher on also, but if they will fell and killed somebody, is there going to be kosher? And then that being the case, Tosfos says when you say moored, this pocket is solid, doesn't actually have to mean that it did it three times. Remember, shame and regal are animals moored to begin with. So therefore, all it has to mean is that it's normal for an animal to scratch itself against the wall. According to that, even one time it scratched itself against the wall and knocked it down and killed the person, then the animal pocket is going to be cultured because it was only shame. It wasn't intending to cause damage. However, it's going to be Tosfos. That's our choice. Okay, so the question is, how are we supposed to know? How can we distinguish whether the shirt knocked down the wall deliberately or whether it just did it as a side effect of scratching? The answer is, the boss is enough from a cracker space. Fine, if we see that even after the wall fell, the ox was still scratching itself against it, then we know that Lachilo was only doing it for a time. Similar thing to we had last week, a case where Shur set something on fire, where we talked about that it did it for a tanub because it wanted to roll around in the ashes, and we see that after it was rolling around in the ashes, but it did not. then we know it was Shane, as opposed to it just set it on fire without and didn't roll in the ashes, then we know that it's Karen. Similarly over here, if the animal stopped scratching itself once it knocked down the wall, then we know it was knocking down the wall out of spite, and then that's Karen. Otherwise, we know it was Shane.
Stop scratching once the wall is
down. Once the wall is down, then we know it wasn't doing it in order to scratch an itch. It was doing it because it intended to cause death. And then that's Karen.
If the wall is not high enough,
it can scratch it. No, but it can. It can get itself down on the ground. Whatever, yeah. Okay. So the question then becomes, back castle through a sneeze. Fine. Even if you're going to argue that, though, even if you're going to argue that in a case like that, according to Rashi, therefore, is considered Karen, but in the cabin, therefore no Mister, and according to Torah, it's considered Shem. Even so, Torah is but isn't it a case of Torah? Isn't it a case where it was indirect damage because the person was killed by the falling wall, which was knocked down by the Shur, and that's Torah? And therefore, there's only Kofer, the Torah only tells us Kofer when the animal gores, meaning that it did the damage with its own body, not the spirit. There are some Rishonim learn that the question is that maybe in that case, why you hire the full Kofer, maybe you should only hire half the Kofer. But the same way as that's true, hire half the Kofer, maybe you hire half the Kofer. The answer is, Amar of Mori, Greater Tana, you can also mine. Yes, but what you're talking about over here is actually where the wall keeps on moving because of the shur. Meaning, it's not just talking about that the shur was scratching against the wall and that destabilized it and a little while later it fell. We're talking about the shur is pushing against the wall, pushing against it, until it actually knocks it down. Therefore, it's not service, therefore, it's a direct thing.
Well.
Okay, so the Nimukha Yosef has a different explanation called the Minami Ne. So the Nimukha Yosef has a different explanation. He says it means when the wall fell, the Shur was leaning against the wall so that you had together the Shur and the wall and the Shur together fell on purpose. Right? So then that's the magic. Yeah. So again, the bottom line is the animal did not have any kabana to kill, therefore you can't put it to death. However, Rav and Moshe are arguing whether there's kofer.
Rav says
kofer and Shmuel says no.
Okay.
Tanya covers say to Shmuel. Now we learn a Braisa that is in accordance with Shmuel, which yubs the Rav. And as a matter of fact, this Braisa comes out as a contradiction to Rav. Namely, a Braisa says, yes, chayev mitzah over kofer. There are cases where the shur is chayev mitzah and the owner is chayev kofer. The yes, chayev kofer or kofer mitzah. There are cases where the owner of the shur is chayev and kofer, but the shur is kofer with mitzah. The yes, chayev mitzah or kofer mitzah. So there's the other way around. The shur can be chayev mitzah, but your kofer contains kofer. The yes, kofer mitzah is there. And there are cases where your kofer can both. Which means, by the way, there is a contradiction to that. Because Rav said that they're interdependent, like Rav over there, that one goes with the other, only where you have mitzvah, you have kofer. And here the Braita is clearly saying they're not. Continues the Braita, okay, that. So how does this work? What are examples of each one? Mu'ad, the kavana, chayiv, mitzvah, the kofer. If the animal was mu'ad and it had kavana to kill, then there was mitzvah for the animal and kofer for the owner, because the animal was mu'ad.
That's according to
everybody. Everybody would agree if the animal had kavana and it's moored. Yeah, everybody would agree this question. Moored shaloi with kavana. Suppose now the animal was moored but there was no kavana. Chayev for kofer, the kofer of potter and mitzvah. Then you chayev and kofer and potter, but the animal was not chayev mitzvah. So there you go. There's the contradiction to that. So the point of that, if the animal is potter and mitzvah, you also potter and kofer. Tam for kavana, chayev and mitzvah. That's the point. It's more, but it's contradictory. Chayev and mitzvah, potter. If the animal was a tam and it had kavana, then the animal was chayev mitzvah, because that's what the Torah says, I show you the soccer, but the owner is potter and kofer, because that only applies to more. Tam shalai the kavana, potter mitzvah mitzvah. If the animal was tam and it was shalai the kavana, then you caught this mitzvah. No mitzvah for the shur, no kofer for the owner. So you see the Braita is clearly saying that you can have kofer without mitzvah, which is what Shmuel says. And in fact, the halacha is like Shmuel, because as usual, and first of all, we have this Braita, but besides that, anyway, usually in Dini Mammon, it's the halacha is like Shmuel. And and dinner. So this is halacha that you can have kosher without mitzvah kosher. So there you have a case. The animal killed shaloi b'tavon, for example, the case of Amish, where it's scratching itself against the wall and knocked down the wall and killed somebody. The shor is kosher from mitzvah. However, if the animal was a mu'ad, if the animal was a mu'ad, according to different explanations, what mu'ad means in this case, then the owner is going to be high of kosher. Again, if one's actually mu'ad, meaning it actually did it several times already, and if it's kosher, maybe it even only did it once, but it's a tool of shame. It's scratching itself against the walls is a tool of shame, and therefore knocking it down is a. Everybody agrees that an animal scratching itself is a tool of shame, because if we learned at the beginning of the chapter, the thing that an animal does for its own hana is a tool of shame. The av of shame is that the animal eats fruit. The tolda, therefore, is, for example, scratching itself. Yes. Tosafot is explaining that in all Gemara, the point is we're not dealing with whether it's teren because it's unusual for the shor to knock down walls, and therefore it's a question of avana or not. It's actually a question of, is it teren because it meant to knock down the wall, or is it shame because it meant to scratch it? Next, the Braita continues. Vanazokin shaloi b'kavana. Now, all this time we've been talking about if the animal kills shaloi b'kavana. Now, what happens if the animal causes nezek shaloi b'kavana? Which Rashi says we're talking about over here, if one shur causes nezek to another shur without kavana. So of course we'll talk about also that it may mean also if it injured a person. Rabbi Yehuda Machayev, Rabbi Shimon Post. Rabbi Yehuda says the owner of the shur is Machayev. Even without kavana, Rabbi Shimon Post. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Why does he say that the difference that when it comes to killing the shor, you need kavana, but when it comes to paying the shor is zaken, it doesn't matter? The reason is yalak mikoyfer, because Rabbi Yehuda learns from Rabbi Yehuda derives it from kofer. Ma kofer shalad kavana bias. Just like you pay kofer, as we just established in the Braita, that you pay kofer regardless whether the animal had intent to kill or not. Again, we're talking within the Braita, which there wasn't any defending opinion there, yeah. So just like kofer shaloi b'kavana is chayev, apan azok and nami shaloi b'kavana chayev. The same thing when it comes to nezek, even if it's shaloi b'kavana, still chayev. But Reb Shimon yalak mitkoi the shor, whereas Reb Shimon would rather learn it from the case where the shor is executed. Ma tole shaloi b'kavana chayev. Just like when it comes to killing the shor, if the shor did it shaloi b'kavana, then the shor is potter from it. Achnez up shaloi b'kavana potter. But the same thing when it comes to nezek, also if the shor didn't have kavana, it would be potter as well. So the question is, Mach Tole, just like when it comes to killing the shur, shaloi b'kavana potter, it needs kavana to be killed. If there's no kavana, it is not killed. The same thing, Rabbi Shimon says, the same thing, when it comes to nezok and after nezok, shaloi b'kavana potter. Fine. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Nelech Mikkoli, fine. Why Taka does Rabbi Yehuda feel that it's better to learn from Toyser? Why Taka doesn't he learn from killing the animal? The reason is done in Tashlumin, being done in Tashlumin, you miss it. Because he feels it's more logical to make an analogy between two different payments. Tosher is a payment, Nezokin is also a payment. Okay, they're paying two different reasons, one mom and one kapara, but they're still financial payments. So you learn one from the other, being done in Tashlumin, you miss it. You shouldn't derive it from Mitzvah, which is a whole different kind of thing. Tosher goes with Tashlumin and Nezokin. But Shimon Nami Nelech Mikoyfer, right? Fine. Why doesn't Shimon learn from Koyfer? The reason is done in Yuvidishur, because what Shimon says, on the other hand, we will derive something with the field on the Shur, namely with the Shur, where when it comes to Nezokin, especially when the animals come, Nezokin are paid out of the body of the Shur. Therefore, that's considered a field on the Shur. So you learn a chiyuv of the shur, mechiyuv v'dishur, from another chiyuv which applies to the shur, namely the fact that, namely whether it's going to get killer or not. Which is not the kofer, yes, it was caused before by the nezik of the animal, but it's not really directly related to the animal at all. It's related to the owner. The owner is the one who pays. The owner is the one who pays the kofer. Therefore, the Shimon feels that, well, yeah, Therefore, the Chimin feels that it's more logical to make an analogy between the Misa of the Shur and the Tashlumin of the Shur, that just like Misa happens only with his Kavanah, so does the Zakin only get paid for his Kavanah.
Give it a
shirt. You want to put closer as it is to the control for all that? The Mishnah said, "Niskaven lar is the payment of a harvest to other mechulakoter." That the Mishnah had mentioned three cases: if an animal, if the shur intended to kill another animal and instead it killed a person, or it's aiming for a boy and hit a kid, or it's aiming for the fallen, for an unviable baby, and it hit a ben hagama, somebody who's viable. So in all those cases, we said pas. The Gemara says the pas. Now we can deduce from the cases that the Mishnah mentioned that niskaven lar is the harvest to other. That, on the other hand, the Mishnah is implying by that if the Shur was aiming for one Yid and it hit another Yid, then he would have to be high. You know, the Mishnah is telling us, for example, he would have to be that it was aiming at somebody where there would not be a Chiyuv Misa involved, either another animal or a Goy or a Nefer. But if he was aiming for a Yid, a Ben Kayama, and he instead hit another Yid, a Ben Kayama, he wouldn't. Therefore, Maknissin, the Lord of Shimon. So we can see from that the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon. The Tanya Rav Shimon, remember? Afilin is Gavin Lana to Sevahar of the Sephotis. Rav Shimon says that no, even if the Shur was aiming for one person and accidentally killed another, the owner, the Shur was still possible. Okay, my time is Rav Shimon. So what's Rav Shimon's reasoning? Why does he think that if it came to the wrong person, that he's possible? The reason is, because the Torah tells us that the Shur is given Tchila and also the owner is put to death. Now, we don't mean that the owner is not put to death. On one level, the Gambal of Yom means that he's high in the Shemite, and therefore instead he pays Chosin. But on another level, we have to consider, why did the Torah use that phrasing, the Gambal of Yom, which could mislead us into thinking that the owner is actually getting executed himself? The reason is because the Torah wants to make a Hekish, Kemisah Bailim Kach Nisah Shur. Just the same rules that apply to the Misa of the owner, namely not Misa, but in other cases where a person might be high of Misa, the same rules apply to the Misa of the Shur. Everybody agrees about Hekish. The common use that Hekish for other persons. For example, I think we'll have it later in the section, but it's not in the Gemara discussion of Sanhedrin, that for example, a Shur, when a Shur is judged, it has to be done by a Beis Din of 23. Even though it's Dini Mamanis, usually Dini Mamanis can be handled by Beis Din Tzvi, but because of the technique, I'll show you yourself, I've got all the Yomot. Were the Bailim to be Chayav Misa, or some other unrelated thing, they would have to be judged by Beis Din of 23. Therefore, so does the Shem. So everybody agrees about Hekesh. The Shem is accusing that Hekesh for a different purpose. Therefore, he's saying, Ma Bailim Adim Chavim Lai, Akshar Nami Adim Chavim Lai. Therefore, he says, just like when it comes to the owner, the owner himself would only be Chayav Misa for killing if he had meant to hit the person that he actually killed, not if he was aiming for one and hit the other. Akshar Nami Adim Chavim Lai. The same thing then would apply to the Shur, that only Chayav Shur if the Shur killed the person that it was aiming for. Okay, the violent is requiring that one. Fine. How does Rav Shimon know then that if the owner himself, that was the person killing another person, that did apply? Where does Rav Shimon get that from? The answer is, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about one person killing another, the Pasuk says, Orav loy v'chom olav, you mentioned this the other day, but Orav loy, if he lies in wait for him, if he ambushes him, v'chom olav, and he stands up against him and kills him, implying, Abshi is Gavin loy. It has to be, but Orav loy implies that he actually was aiming for the person that he had to kill. But Orav loy, he's lying in wait for him, v'chom olav, and he actually stood up against that person and killed him. So not he was aiming in wait, not he was lying in wait for one person and ended up killing another person. But Arablan means he was intending to kill that person. He was aiming at that person. The Tamala means he actually killed that person. So therefore, where the Rabbanim disagree in both cases, well, as you said, the Mishnah implied that, the Mishnah implied not like the Shimon when it comes to a show, and the Rabbanan disagreed with the Shimon when it comes to people also. The Rabbanan holds when it comes to people also. If you were aiming for one person and killed another, you would be fine. Again, only if it was you were aiming for an animal and killed a person, you were aiming for a Goyan and a Yid, etc., then the Rabbanan agree on all of that. So, the Rabbanan, the art of loy, my afterlife. Fine, what do the Rabbanan do with the word the art of loy? What are they doubting from it? I'm in Beirut Yanai, Rakhul Zurich Evan Lagoy. They say that the word the art of loy comes to teach us to exclude a case where a person throws a rock into a crack. Goy over here, you'll notice it's called about the Jew. It doesn't mean goy as in, a non Jew. Goy means like into a crack. So if a person throws a rock into a crowd and kills one person in the crowd, the Rabbanan will agree that he's false. So we have to figure out, hey, she does. What is the scenario? What kind of crowd are we talking about? He lamed it into Tisha. Is it a case, for example, where you have a crowd is mostly going, and among them you have one Yid? Of course you'd be fine. Typically, the Rebbe Knanim, even if you ended up hitting the Yid, typically the Rebbe Knanim. Of course. Because you're not high if it's killing a Goy. But it doesn't matter. The fact is you go up into Goy. Goy was a Rebbe Goy over there. And therefore, of course, you're going to be fussy. You don't need a fuss to cover that. Even if.
What do you say? I don't know. In the fuss is Goy or
because you don't. First of all, you go to Kula. You always try to find a way to pop this guy. Which is actually next. The Enami Pogro Pogro, even if it was half and half, even if it was half Goyim and half Jews, and you ended up hitting one of the Jews, still, Suffolk Nefasha Flaherty. Still, when it comes to a Suffolk of the death penalty, you always make it. The Pasuk has an expression. At the end, in Parashat Matzeh, the Torah has a long description of all the dinim of Hebrea, more amazing, shogig, etc. The Torah says that the Shoftua Eder, the Eder, meaning the Beis Din should judge him, the Eder should save him. The context is talking about a Rizeh Shogig, that they save him by sending him off to the Ordo Mishra. But we learn from that the general concept that they are obligated to try to use whatever legal arguments they can to save him. A Suffolk is such a legal argument. You can argue there was only a suffix whether he's going to end up killing a Yid or not, and you can't execute him on that basis. Tosis, by the way, discusses the Gemara in Matos and in a couple of other places in Shas discusses the concept of suffix called hasra suffix. If you have a case where Agin give a person hasra on an act that he's doing, where it's not certain whether that act is going to result in something that would be high of malchus or mitzvah or what have you, is it an effective hasra? If you say that it's not, then you don't even need the thing suffered for partial over here. Then you have another reason. When the guy is getting ready to throw the rock, they can't validly give him a hasra, you're going to kill a Yid, because you're not necessarily. You have to keep it in killing a Yid. Not when it's not a good hasra. They're giving him, if there's a suffix, whether the action that he's about to do is going to result in something that would make him high of Misha or Malchus. Yes, and this is one example. If you have a crowd of half Jews and half Goyim, and he's getting ready to throw a rock, and Agin warned him, if you throw that rock, and if you were to kill a Yid with that rock, you would be high of Misha. However, we don't know whether that rock is going to hit a Goyim or going to hit a Yid. Therefore, that's called Hasra Suffix. And you have Machlokes over there, Rav Yehoshua and Rav Shlakish, whether Hasra Suffix is a valid Hasra or not. So according to Rav Yehoshua, and that's a valid Hasra, then you need the Gemara's reason over here. Then you would say the Hasra is a valid Hasra. However, over here, you have Suffix and Suffix and Hasra, therefore you can't end up putting the guy to death. As opposed to, according to Rav Shlakish, that Hasra Suffix is not a valid Hasra anyway, then you're not talking about it. You don't even have a good Hasra. Again, Hasra Suffix, you're telling him don't do this, but you don't know, they don't know at the time they give the Hasra whether the action that he's going to do is going to result in something of high business. Yes. That the Tosafot is saying that even that according to the Shlakish, even if we didn't even need the reason that we brought up here to get a Suffix before, even if we were to be Machner in a case of Suffix, still, according to the Shlakish, the Hasra itself is not a Hasra. Okay. Okay, anyway. So, loisius, that's a no. The chiddush is the case where the Torah, the case where the Torah needs to use the word ba'arapo, is talking about a case. If it's Tishri Yisrael or B'chat Nam, suppose it's the other way around. You have the majority of the crowd is Jews, and there's one guy among them. So, the Africa of the Ruba Yisrael, but now the Roiv are Jews, so therefore you can't say suffer from prophet possible. On the face of it, when he throws that rock, there's a 90% chance that he's going to hit it. However, given the Ikachat Knat, Todd Knani Benahil, however, since there is one guy among them, Havalai Kavua, that guy is considered Kavua. Kavua means something that is in its original place. And we have the rule called Kavua from that style master value. When it comes to Kavua, we ignore the usual rules of probability. We learned about the service, there's a story about it. That when it comes to Kavua, you do not use the usual probability. You say Kavua is considered to map style master dummy. It's the equivalent of 50-50. So it's as if it was a 50-50 chance of Jews and going over here. And you back through the stop because it's awful. And you back through, therefore, that it's stopped. And you can't execute the guy based on a stop. So what about a point of shipment? I'm supposed to say, what about a point of shipment? Tosfos says that Tosfos discusses a little bit that Rav Shimon may learn it. Rav Shimon may learn it from someplace else. And actually, I mean, it's not so much of over here. Over here, according to Rav Shimon, you don't even need unless the guy specifically says I'm aiming for this guy. According to Rav Shimon, you're going to be called to anything. You don't need kavua. But where does Rav Shimon learn? Where does Rav Shimon learn the concept of kavua in other places? Tosis discusses a little bit where Tosis brings one possibility where he might learn it from someplace else, but maybe not. Actually, it might be. There are the shonim who say that, in fact, maybe it comes to Rav Shimon. This concept of kol kavua from that sound master dummy does not apply. Or maybe it only applies to Rabbanon. We're not sure. But Taka, because the Rabbanon are using Ba'arah Boy to teach us the whole concept of kol kavua from that sound master dummy, Rav Shimon is using Ba'arah Boy for a different reason. So maybe he does not hold with that concept, at least not there at all. If we can hack this and do the next Mishnah and Gemara on it. Okay. Mishnah says, show her Isha, a show that belongs to a woman, the show how you say him, and a show that belongs to orphan. The shur half the shurfus, or shur that is being guarded by an apatrufus. So the difference is, actually, the yisoyim means they don't have an apatrufus. They're taking care of the animal itself. Apatrufus would mean an apatrufus to take care of it too. Yeah. Or shur ha midbar, a shur that lives out in the midbar, that was Hector. Shur ha hektish. Shur ha ger shemet ve'en layo. Or a shur that belongs to a ger who died without leaving any heirs, which, as we discussed yesterday, nobody inherits him there because his original family is not related to him by law, and he didn't have any children, so therefore his stuff is free for taking. No, first of all, it's only after he's dead. After he's dead, he's not around to say Bonham is Bush Hamel. Okay, but we're not concerned about that. I mean, yeah, because the parents themselves have to come to Bush Hamel with this house. They themselves are still good. All these cases, nevertheless, in all these cases, the shirt is still Chayav Mitzvah, even though it has no owners, or even though the owners, or even though, maybe the owners are not Chayav for one reason. Rabbi Huda Omer, shirt on Midbar, shirt on Hector, shirt on Gersh, and that's Surah Mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon says three of these cases, a shirt that lives in the Midbar, meaning a Hector, or a shirt of Hector, or a shirt of a Gersh who died without heirs. Tournament, I miss it. All those three cases, the animal caught up to miss the Lafisha inland violent because the owner, because the shur does not have any, does not have an owner.
What's going to happen if you're killing other?
No, if somebody, no.
Right.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, really not. So, turn it on, boss. Shur, Shiva. Seven times in the stukim that talk about the case of a shur killing a person, seven times it says the word shur in those stukim. Therefore, so for one of them, we need Tarsus to tell us that this was the Tarsus talking. The other six, Lahavi, Shoda, Yishra, Shoda, Simon, Tzav, Shripa, Shkara, Midbar, Shkara, Hekin, Shoda, Gershom, Eshe, and Yoshin. The other six come to include these other six cases that we mentioned in this. By the way, the Siddush, most of them are clearly obvious Siddushes. Yisrael in that space is only a kapara, the Akashulkos is not his animal, he's only watching it for them, the Midbar is Hester, etc. The Siddush with Isha, Tosafot says, is because the Torah mentions when it comes to a shur boring another shur, the Torah uses the word to you that shur ish, as shura is, so you think maybe only an ish, not an isha, and therefore the Mishnah specifies an isha as well.
What
are
you talking about? The
shore
was bored
another shore, another person. No, bored a person. If they
bored
another shore, it's not kind of. There's no, well, when there's a kofer, there's going to be a kofer, but we're talking about, we're focusing on mishra, whether the shore is chayav mishra. So Rav Yehuda is saying, if the shore has no owner, it's not chayav mishra, if it has an owner, then it is chayav mishra. Kofer, obviously, can only be if there's an owner. So from the Chachamim, we are learning those six cases of Mishnah from the six that we find. Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shurda Midvar, Shurda Hekta, Shurda Gershom, Esrei, and Leyershom, Turman, and Mishnah. Let's be shame, and I'm by them because they don't have all of them. The Torah Chaim is an interesting thing about it. He says, Rav Yehuda knows it says seven cases, so why is he excluding some cases? He says, because Rav Yehuda figures it's sort of like you have a double negative and a positive in English and some other languages. In a similar way, Rabbi Moshe would say, the first shur comes to add something. The second shur comes to take away something. Add, take away. They agree, end up taking away three things. Namely, the three ways of having an owner. I'm going to put it. Rabbi Moshe would say that the shur is called the Mitzah, even if it's bored and then the owner declared it hectic, or even if the animal bored and afterwards the owner declared it hectic. So not only you, from the words of the Mishnah, you would say for bored while it's hectic or bored while it's hectic. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says that no, even if you only made it hectic or hectic after the bored. We might. In that case, then still possible to miss the point of view. Mimai, how do we know that? It's the funny character, Shura Midbar, Shura Gershom, Esrei, and Leyershom. Because the Mishnah mentioned two cases, which on the face of it amounts to the same thing. The Mishnah mentioned Shura Midbar, and a Shura that is Esther, and a Shura that died without, and a Shura of a Ger who died without heir. Now, Shura Gershom, Esrei, and Leyershom. Now, after all, if a Ger's Shura dies, what is the status of it? It's given there in Leyershom, how will they Shura have it? Once he dies without heirs, considered Hester, Hainu Shurda Midbar. That's exactly the same thing as a Shurda Midbar. The Mishnah should not have had to repeat it. Hainu Shurda Midbar, Hainu Shurda Gershom Eshenu, Elo La Boka Mashmalon. So it must be that is the Chiddush, the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that's Filo Nogachol Seif Hikdish, Nogachol Seif Hikdir, that even if the animal gored and then you declared it hector, or gored and then you declared it hector, nevertheless, the same genuine applies. As long as at the time it's being brought to base, it is hector or hector.
That depends on who the animal belongs to at that point. Some people say that it belongs to the
No. If the animal killed a person, it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. Yeah, you're talking about if the animal gored another shur, then it belongs to the nizik. But yeah, we're not talking. Okay. Shmami nafilatu. Tani namitasi. In fact, we learn like that in the past. Yes, that I'll say in Amr Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says even more than that. I feel enough, not only if the animal was hector or hectic when it gored, but even nevertheless, even in those cases, the animal would still be puzzled from the Shanema, all of the because the Torah says that the owner is wounded, and nevertheless the animal kills, so then the animal is fighting. Which means that the killing and the king brought to base in both have to be like one. Now, not at the same time, meaning, so Rashi earlier in the sector, we quoted this earlier in the sector, Rashi said over there that it meant
they actually have to, it has to be that the same person has owned it throughout, from the Negisa all the way until the 5 years. The Rashbam owns a little differently. He says maybe it's enough if the person owned it at the time of the Negisa and still owns it at the time of the time of the mother begin, it doesn't matter what the story was in between. Let's say he was masculine in between, and then he was built back to transfer again, the Rashbam would say that it's so fast. The question is, I didn't like it. So what are you telling me then, that you do not need the offer? So you mentioned, now remember, you have three, there's three stages, right? There's the mitzvah, when the animal kills the person. There's hamad of a din, when the case is brought to the mitzvah. And then there's gemar din, when the case is passed. You only mentioned the first two. But gemar din like vagina. Are you telling me then that Rabbi Yehuda would hold the animal does not have to be under the same ownership at the time of gemar din? I'll show you stuff of gemar din. The process that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting, the word of all of the Hamas Isha, continues, I'll show you so, is talking about Gemar Din. The person to be killed means Gemar Din, yeah. Ella Amos, no, you have to correct. You have to correct the Braitha and say, Achke Misa, Reham Adab Adin, Ugmar Din, Shabbat Kep. The point of the order, all three stages have to be under the same ownership for the end of the entire thing. Otherwise, again, that's all turns to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chacham, it doesn't matter. Even if the animal was hefty or hafsila, it was still good to kill. How much more so if the guy was not doing that? And as usual, the halacha is a